Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A made no rain on the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game, better bring your A game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A made no rain.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
A little frustrated. The typical Mac wasn't working for the show, so I had to bust out the school laptop today to work, and it's fine. We're on the show. The audio's fine. It just, you know me, man. I'm a video snob, so I'm like, ugh, not happy with it, but it's fine.
You notice anything different about my video today?
You're super, super blue, and you look like you're coming from the... You look like you got an incel thing going on there with all the darkness around you. What's going on with that?
Well, I decided to put the blue light back up, but if I have my white light too bright, then it offsets the blue light. So I'm like trying to figure that out, and I don't know what I'm doing. So I just keep messing with it, and so now I just look like I have like an illness.
Yeah, I'm the same deal, man. If I make my one light any brighter, it washes everything out completely. So you gotta diffuse it. Now I got a harsh shadow over here. Now it's what. See, I'm saying this is the stuff that bothers me. So
yeah,
you know, the show is the show.
I really should learn what I'm doing, especially considering I just bought a new $300 microphone.
So, did you get a new microphone?
Yeah, I got the top of the line, the same mic that Rogan and all the top podcasters use. I got that mic because my the one that you have, that's the one that I've been using since we started.
Garrett got me this microphone. Did you get yours on your own or?
Well, I paid for mine, but Garrett told me to get it. Essentially, he was like, "This is the one that everybody should be using." I was like, "Okay," so I went and got that.
I'm 90% sure Garrett actually bought mine for me.
So. Yeah. Well, I had been like begging Garrett to let me be on the air for a long time, so he was like, "All right, but here you need to have this microphone because I had a Blue Yeti mic." And that's like a conference room microphone.
Yeah. I had a Blue Yeti too when I started out. It truly is an ass microphone, especially we've gone a long way with those now. And like, if you want to do a podcast, you can't be on a Blue Yeti.
No. So I got that mic, the Audio Technica, and I've had it this whole time. And then I'm on the air this past weekend with Joe. Joe filled in for you because you were at the Bears game. Mm-hmm. Like while I'm on the air, everything just starts skipping and we can't figure out why. And it turns out it was the microphone. The microphone just crapped out. And so like next day I went ahead and I was like, you know, screw it. I'm just going to get the microphone that I've been wanting to get forever. So I went ahead and like invested in it. So we finally upgraded the mic, dude. It's been how long have we been doing the show? Since 2021?
2021 is when we started doing this thing. So this is, we're not quite at 5 years yet, but it was like whenever Kenny first showed up in TNA is when we started. So I want to say it was like summerish.
Well, you know, he showed up in like November, but he showed up in November of 2020, but we didn't start till 2021. So it was like a few months after Kenny had showed up, but that's the reason why we started.
It is. I think we did an initial podcast when Kenny first showed up, and I think our show, the Brace for Impact show, started maybe a month or so afterwards. So maybe we are going on our 6 year anniversary or 5 year anniversary.
I think we're like 5 years strong. It was funny. I was talking to like I won't say the person's name, but like, let's just say a pretty high ranking AEW person, right? I was chatting with them on Twitter the other day, and they were like, "Hey, like you should be doing an AEW podcast." it's kind of the way they were framing it. And because I think they like my coverage and kind of like my comments. I think I'm like kind of funny. And it's like, why are you even doing a TNA podcast? And so then I explained, it's like, well, you guys sent Kenny over and nobody else was talking about TNA at the time other than my, like a couple of my friends. And I was like, I'm as good as these guys. And so like I kind of went through the whole story and go, okay, well, that's great, but you should still be doing an AEW podcast. maybe one day.
Our normal show, we cover a lot of AEW on this particular show.
Yeah.
Like, which just goes through this high ranking AEW official has zero clue who I am, but he's in your DMs. So, you know.
Well, I think it's more because of my Twitter coverage. It's definitely the Twitter feed.
You are way more active on Twitter than I am anymore. I've been kind of checked out on Twitter for the last maybe 2 years now, something like that.
Somebody the other day had a really pretty accurate description of me, but the way they were going about it was completely wrong. Like they're calling me this for the wrong reasons. So, you know what? Let's get into our top story and then I'll get into what somebody called me on Twitter. That was very accurate.
Before we go, I actually went semi-viral yesterday.
Really?
I think it's because of you. I think because you retweeted me.
Okay.
I never look, and I had 30 retweets, and I've got a ton of shit, and I'm like, wow. And I didn't read any of the responses because I'm a veteran of Twitter and I know better than to do that.
Yeah.
But I saw that I made fun of Rosenberg, and thanks to my good friend Mike here, I'm back. I guess I have to pay attention to my Twitter again.
He was he's coming after Trump and coming after ICE, which appropriate, I would say.
Appropriately, yeah, for
sure. At the same time, bootlicking one of Trump's officials, Triple H.
Yeah, that's what I call him.
Triple H is literally in the Trump administration.
Literally. And I said to him, I said, kiss Paul Levesque with that mouth, you fucking hypocrite. Yeah. And people were, I think most people were on board with that. Again, I didn't read the comments. So, but again, thank you to you for giving me a retweet, as I appreciate, and then causing trouble. I kind of set off Twitter bombs. I'll piss people off and then kind of walk away, as I learned that from you. It's a skill that I've picked up and adopted.
Yeah, I pissed off somebody a couple nights ago, and I did just right before bed, and I fell asleep. And I woke up, and that person had tweeted me 10 times. oh my gosh!
Well, your good buddy, your good buddy. Speaking of their first topic, your good buddy went crazy on Twitter this past week too. Your boy Lo Piccolo.
Yeah, Lo Piccolo. So he was the guy that tweeted me 10 times, while I was asleep. So,
I knew it. That's why I said it.
So he tweeted me 10 times while I was asleep. And then I had a pretty snappy comeback, which I tend to be pretty good at those. He said something to me and I had a pretty good comeback. And he was like, that actually was pretty good. and then he ends up following me. And then he DM'd me and we had a really nice conversation. And I can't not be a master sergeant, you know what I mean? I can't not be a first sergeant in the military. When someone's going through some shit, even if it's their own doing, I don't have it in me to not build them up a little bit and give them some words of encouragement. I kind of took shots at him on Twitter because we just don't know each other.
Yeah.
And he's kind of a celebrity at this point. He's CM Punk's agent. He's an agent for he still is.
I thought CM Punk fired him. That's how that whole thing.
No. Okay, he was a part of Paradigm Management, that agency. So you got Endeavor, CAA, Paradigm is just one of those companies. He's been with them for close to 20 years now. And according to him, he left, right? According to Nick, he left. Okay. I don't have any evidence to dispute that. Right. That's what it's out in the periodicals. I think Deadline covered it. You can say whatever you want about how they got that information and the fact that Nick has been sharing it everywhere. but according to him, he left. Now, is it possible that Paradigm was ready for him to go? It's possible, right? I think it's more even probable that that's the case. But again, I don't have any evidence to state that. I don't have any sources to back that up. So the story that's in public, the only one that we can really go with is that he left. Okay.
He backed up his claims with a bunch of unverified, out of context text messages from unknown people, which prove that he had conversations on his phone with unknown people.
Yeah. So he's still in the business, and I don't know that he's lost all his clients. I don't know anything like that. We didn't even talk about that. It was more just sharing pleasantries and texting back and forth and me just kind of like keep your head up, like stuff like that. And then he'd be like, look, dude, I'm going to be just fine. I'm going to be okay. You don't have anything to worry about. And I was like, okay, good, man. You know, I'm happy. Happy that that's the case, you know, stuff like that. Right. Mm-hmm. We did talk about some other stuff, like kind of like outside of it, but about what he's going through. That's kind of where we kept it. I wasn't about to pry for information, cause like, I don't know, it's none of my business. Right. So, but, he's got something cooking. He's got something in the works. He's got a long client list. But the way I looked at it, I was like, and I didn't want to say this to him, and maybe I should have, and now I'm talking about it publicly. So, but I should have said, you know, hey, look, I've seen Jerry Maguire several times. Like, he only kept one client, and it was Cuba Gooding Jr., played for the Arizona Cardinals, right, or Phoenix Cardinals back in the day. So I just want to be like, okay, which of all of them, like, who's your Bob Sugar that's going to take all your clients? And like, who's the one that you got to keep the most? And maybe as, like, we start talking a little bit more, maybe I can, like, ask him that. So.
Yeah, and this is where I'm, like, kind of, like, I don't really – because it did reek of, like, a Jerry Maguire, because he has, yeah, he has, like, these public outbursts that are the least professional thing I've ever seen. Like, I've never seen an agent – who will go out of his way to make sure that his clients cannot work for another company. Like, yeah, it's just so, his behavior is so bizarre. I don't know where it comes from. It's just so bizarre.
Yeah. Weird. If I were to ask him a question about that, I'd be like, do you think it's wise to go out of your way to antagonize a potential employer for your clients? Right. Cause I've never seen Drew Rosenhaus, like, go out and start trashing all these other teams, because they need to work with those. He needs to work with those general managers,
right,
to get the best contracts possible. And he could end up getting himself blackballed by certain teams. Like, hey, look, I want you to come to our team, but I'm not talking to your man or your agent. I'm just not doing that. You know what I mean? Like that could end up happening to him.
Like, I know Barry Bloom used to piss a lot of people off, but he had enough powerful clients where it didn't really matter. Like, yeah. And I guess what, if he still does have Punk, and let's just say Punk, something happened with Punk at WWE, I'm pretty sure Tony Khan would go all above and beyond to try to mend those fences.
For sure.
But I think that might be it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. I get he's not Drew Rosenhaus. So it's just like, I don't know if you're powerful enough to pull this kind of stuff off.
He's like, he's a legit guy.
I know. I know.
Is he Ari Emanuel? No, but no. He's still like a legit guy. So I don't know.
It just seems like poor business to, like, yeah, actively just, and it seems it reeks of, I only want my clients to be in this company, which, like, doesn't it lowball them? Doesn't it lowball your clients to know they can't go looking for another deal anywhere else?
You would assume, right? It would be like, like I said, being an NFL agent, be like, I only want my players to play for the Patriots. Like, yeah, it's like, weird. you kind of like limit the playing field. Now, being with, like, getting your clients into WWE opens doors that maybe AEW wouldn't open. And I think, like, Jade Cargill is another one of his clients, and CM Punk and other folks, maybe that's what they thought. And maybe that's the way they see it too. Is like, just seeing, because they're so much bigger, like, it increases your global profile. You know, CM Punk is in this new movie called Night Patrol. I see the commercial every Thursday night during Impact. Like, for whatever reason, it's a big sponsor of the Impact show. And I'm going to watch it as soon as I get my hands on it. But, like, and maybe that's the thing. But I agree with, dude, I agree with you 100%. Like, you're limiting the possibilities, I think.
Has Jade been getting a lot of, like, outside media deals since going to WWE? And it's possible I'm just not paying attention and don't realize it.
You're asking the wrong guy. The only one that I know for a fact CM Punk has, because he's in the new Zootopia and he's in Night Patrol, and I'm going to watch both those movies. So that's it.
He was getting a lot of that shit, like, when he left WWE the first time. Like, he was getting a lot of opportunities a decade ago to do a lot of stuff. Like, I remember he was writing for Marvel. Like, he was doing a lot of stuff when he was on in between his sabbatical from pro wrestling and the UFC. So, I mean, like, I don't really know if that guy, unless he's been as, and I could be totally off on this, I'll agree. Yeah. I don't know if he's been his agent the entire time.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. We're probably a little bit out of our depth. I don't know. like what he's got going on and who all he's the agent for. I just know what I read in that article. So mm-hmm. I don't know, man. You know, he is a Twitter troll. I followed him for a while just because he's like a grade A shit poster, and like, I was like, that's entertaining. But then he's like a dick to some of my friends, so I'm like, that sucks, right? So I tried to just stay out of it, and so I did kind of make fun of him for getting shit canned, which is kind of a low, like a dick thing for me to do, because like the guy's got he's got a wife and kids, and you know, you don't want to see a guy lose his gig, but like he kind of did, kind of.
I don't know, man. I have a hard time saying that about somebody that actively kicks a hornet's nest.
Yeah,
it's like I can't be mad at someone who has to reap the consequences of their own actions. Like, you don't have to do those kind of things. Like, you don't have to go out of your way to be the biggest dickhead in the world. And this is coming from me. So, I mean, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I hope the best for the guy. Like, I don't want him to be like broke. You know what I mean? I hope like he lands on his feet after, especially after like we talked a little bit. So,
yeah. I mean, you know, I hope the guy, he says he has something cooking, but everybody in Hollywood has something else cooking, whether or not it actually comes to a boil is a different story. I don't know.
Yeah. And you guys look, if you're like, oh, Mike is a big softie, especially even with assholes. Yes,
you are. Yes, like, that's the truth.
Yeah. And so we'll go ahead and get to the top story. Speaking of Mike being like a big softie, Trey Miguel, and I cover this on Brace for Impact, but JD hasn't had a chance to speak on this. So Trey Miguel last week was signed by AEW with the other three members of the Rascals, Zach Wentz, Desmond Xavier, and Myron Reed. They came in as a package deal. Very much so like, you know, I think this was Tony Khan's Rascals or Radicals moment, right? Like the night before TNA is having their big night, he signs four of their best wrestlers. The week before he had signed Jake Doyle. So he did like, now he's got five of their best wrestlers and he's bringing Rose. So that was a shot across the bow to TNA. I believe that. And for sure. Well, as it turns out, and I said this on the Brace for Impact, I was, whenever the Rascals had become free agents, I was like, I think they're going to go to AEW, but Zach Wentz and Trey Miguel might find some issues if they do, because people are going to dig up some information on them. And that's exactly what happened. Trey Miguel's information wasn't as public as Zach Wentz was. They felt fine with the stuff that Zach Wentz had done, said posing as Hitler in a picture. That's what got him fired from the WWE back in the day. What they weren't cool with, WBD anyway, WBD dug this up, or somebody dug it up and sent it to somebody in WBD. I don't know how this whole thing worked. But old Trey was in an argument with David Starr back in the day and hit a trifecta of some pretty awful comments. He was homophobic. He was a little bit racist. And he was also anti-Semitic in that argument. And that was a long time ago. They squashed it since then. He had apologized and, you know, thought he had moved on. But somebody in WBD did not think that apology was good enough, because he's no longer a member of that roster. And so AEW cuts the guy, gives him an unconditional release, and he showed up back in TNA this week. And it was a very emotional, like, thing for him to come back. And then Tom Hannifin, and I thought this was cool, JD. I think you like this. Trey Miguel, you know, the worst week of his life. Mm-hmm. They bring him on. He's super emotional. And Tom Hannifin says the words, TNA Wrestling is proud to announce that we have re-signed Trey Miguel back to the TNA family. And I thought that was, like, cool. Like, that's how you get your guys back. And they had the guys back. And so, anyway, Trey Miguel's back in TNA, man. What do you think of this whole situation?
Good. I'm glad he's got a job. I think Trey Miguel is a very talented wrestler. I'm not going to go cancel culture, man, because I don't think it's real. Very few people are meant to feel the actions of their, the consequences of their actions. Usually people find a way to monetize their quote unquote canceling. I like listening to people like Scott Baio say, because I'm a conservative, I can't get a job, when no one's hired him since Charles in Charge went off the air.
Except for
Eric Bischoff.
Yeah. I think Fox News pays Scott Baio for those hits. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And like, or Kevin Sorbo, it's always people that aren't really, you know, people, Hollywood's a place where if they don't like you as a person, they're just not going to hire you unless you're remarkably talented. So, like, that being said, I think we said this back when Jay Briscoe passed away, and I thought that WBD was too, not too harsh. I don't like the, when I was 25, I was not the best person in the world. I had attitudes that weren't great. I used language that wasn't great. It's nothing that I would want my son to be. And I don't want to be like, you know, I was a product of my environment, but we grew up in a different time. And like, you know, I'd like to think me at 46, only 45, is a better person. And I like that I didn't have to grow up and change under the scrutiny of a public eye with people that are going to point out all my flaws.
Yeah.
So I really wish that we could allow people like Jay Briscoe, who publicly apologized, you know, who tried to make up for it for years.
And Trey Miguel did too. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I don't like the fact that we don't allow people to get better. We tell people to do better. Like, you hear that all the time. Do better, do better. Okay. I'm trying to do better. And like, we go, nope, you're not allowed. You're not allowed to do better. You are stuck here forever. I don't like that. I don't like that. Like I said, you can't stop being a staff sergeant. I can't stop being a teacher. Like, I've gotten my ass bitten numerous times. Situation I should tell you about when we're off the air, actually, recently. You know, you try to give people chances. Like, I would much rather give someone a chance and get burned than assume a man can't change.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I really was looking forward to the Rascals just having big, you know, fun matches of little consequence in AEW TV, because they're good at it. Like, and I enjoy that kind of stuff. So I was kind of bummed because this happened to Trey Miguel the last time the Rascals left TNA.
Yeah.
Remember, we all thought they were going to go over there, and it was just Wentz and Xavier. Like, and Trey was right back in TNA the first time. And I thought that he was going to get an opportunity this time around. And there are people that just won't let that happen. And I feel sad that, like, you can't take back, that you don't have the opportunity to take back your words. You know, I mean, words suck. I understand that. I put a lot of value in words myself, but I just hate the fact that we can't let people say I'm sorry and mean it and try to do better. And as a guy who seems like he's tried to do better, I don't know, it bugs me.
Yeah, man. And the thing about Trey is, like, again, product of the environment, all the excuses he had, are like a tough upbringing. Okay. You're not going to accept those excuses, but can you accept the fact that he actually did publicly apologize and that he's been good to people of the different communities that he offended since then and has not had a single issue since then? And that everybody seems to genuinely like, but WBD doesn't care. They are in a merger they're actively trying to sell the company to Netflix. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want anything to disrupt that. And the person that did that to Jay Briscoe is no longer in the company. So this was like a completely different person. Can I squash a conspiracy theory?
You squash a conspiracy theory? That's not how this goes.
I know. Maybe we should do like a whole episode on wrestling conspiracies one day, but that sounds good. We have to figure that out.
I'm in.
Yeah. But there's this whole conspiracy theory from the other JD, the dickhead in New York.
That guy's name's not even JD. Do you know how much I hate the fact that guy has my actual fucking name? Like, that guy just does that for the internet. Like, that's actually my fucking name. It drives me crazy.
Yeah. But he's pinning this whole thing on MJF because Trey Miguel used to date MJF's wife, like, when they were younger.
The same MJF that went to bat for Zach Wentz.
That not only went to bat for Zach Wentz, that actually helped actively hire the Rascals, like, put in a good word for all of them.
Yeah.
Like including Trey Miguel, helped him get into the company. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say I went viral, but I had a significant amount of traction on a tweet where I said, I can't believe there are, I'm hearing that some slow adults out there think that MJF got Trey Miguel fired. And I said that, and like, sure enough, one by one, JD from New York, like, his troll army started coming after me. Now I'm better than all of them, so I didn't reply. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I smartly didn't reply. And they were trying to like get me convinced, like, hey, well, did you know about this? And I'm just like, and Sap was like, MJF got him hired. It's like, what are we doing? Like, it was clearly WBD. Trey Miguel has come out and said, and apologizing for all these issues that he had in his past. He didn't apologize for dating Alicia Toot. He apologized for the shit he said, which is what got him fired.
Like, here's what I can't get over. Like, everybody's got a past. except for me. Like, you, everyone's got exes. Like, you think that MJF cares that his ex-wife, or excuse me, that his wife dated somebody that he actively tried? Like, that's, even for a guy like Max Freeman, that seems to be a bit much. Like,
so I don't know, man. Pro wrestling is very like incestual. Essentially, I don't mean that like a bit like the way that people would think that. I mean, Emily, they all date each other. Yeah. they're all dating and breaking up with each other. It's like, it's just one of those businesses where, like, and it's, there's a lot of men, there's a lot of women, and they're young, and then a lot of them, like, they date for a while and then they switch companies and they date somebody else. Like, that's just how that business works, right? I don't believe for a second that MJF had anything to do with Trey Miguel getting fired. And in fact, if he did, we would know about it by now, because Trey Miguel is not a guy that seems like he can keep a secret. And he wears his heart on his sleeve and says exactly what's on his mind. And so if it was an issue with that, other than, and if it was anything other than him getting canceled because of what he said like years ago, he would, I guarantee he would admit it. But no, he's saying it's because I said all this stupid shit. That's why I got fired.
Dude, John Muse just texted us and said, YouTube played a Christy fucking gnome commercial in the middle of your show. Continue.
Well, I'm just now finding out that John Muse doesn't have YouTube Premium. Bro, if you have Verizon, it's only $8 a month. Come on. You got to upgrade.
Dude, I don't have YouTube Premium. The kids make fun of me all the time when I play videos in class. Fuck that. I ain't paying $8 a month. I have enough subscriptions. No. Yeah. I draw the line somewhere. No.
Yeah. YouTube Premium is, for me, it's like a godsend, because I watch so many like YouTube documentaries and go down rabbit holes, and I watch wrestling matches. Too. I watch WCW's like Saturday Night from like 1987.
I do too, but I deal with the commercials, man. I'll be listening to something when I'm in the weight room, and I'll just press skip on those commercials, and I'm not doing it. I'm not paying $8 a month. I'm done. I'm done with subscriptions.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I need to consolidate. I got rid of Peacock, but then the NFL playoffs happened. I was like, okay, now I need Peacock. And the NFL playoffs are over, so now I have to cancel Peacock. So got to do that here soon. Because I'm not watching like NXT pay-per-views. That's not happening.
So. What's, I mean, other than that, what is there to watch on Peacock this day and age? I don't watch anything, so I don't know.
Yeah, I used to watch Quantum Leap, the new one, but they got canceled. And then I watched the new Night Court. That's actually like pretty that good.
One. I kind of like the new Night
Court. Yeah, because it's like the lady that's on it plays what, Harry's daughter. She's like daughter. Really, she's really funny.
She is funny. She was on Big Bang Theory.
She was,
which I'm supposed to hate as a nerd. All nerds are supposed to hate Big Bang Theory, but I thought it was fucking funny. So
I'll be honest, I never watched it. Like, I've seen it, I know of it, but I never got into it, and not because I'm like too cool. It's just, I just never did.
I like that one.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so more free agency talk. Will Hobbs has left AEW and he has signed with WWE. Looks like he's going to go under the name Royce Keyes, Royce being the name of his son. So that was a story that came out. I think Corey from Body Slam had that story. But, you know, look, Will Hobbs is a guy that, you know, it's probably time for him to go, I think.
I hate the name. I hate the name Royce Keyes. I think it sounds like one of those terrible WWE names I come up with. That being said, I get where he's coming from. He had reached a certain point in AEW. He's a little bit older, a little bit more injury prone. I don't think he's got a ton of charisma, and I think that holds him back a little bit. He's got an amazing look. Amazing look. And Tony really kind of discovered him. That guy, nobody had heard of that guy, really, except for some, you know, San Francisco area indie fans until he showed up on, you'd heard of him. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. San Francisco area indie fans.
I was in wrestling school with him for a whole day.
I remember you did tell me that. I forgot about that. Like, he's a brick shit house. Like, I don't think he could have gotten a crack at AEW's main event scene. So I think you got to try. You got to gamble on yourself. That's what's great about the wrestling world right now is we have three companies, five if you include the two big overseas companies, where you could try to make a name for yourself, where there's opportunities if it's not working somewhere. I think this is the best thing that can happen in wrestling. I like motion. I like the fact that guys are moving back and forth between WWE and AEW. Now it reminds me of when we were kids in WWF. I love it.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. I was like, why am I supposed to, like, when the Rascals all showed up on AEW, I was like, that's awesome. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, okay, did TNA take a hit? Yeah. Will they rebound? Of course they'll just get somebody else. Like, those guys were not like significant business drivers. But I really enjoy their work, right? So when they and Jake Something was a guy that needed to go, right? He had been in that company for 8 years. It was time.
100%. I think same with Ethan Page when he left AEW a couple years ago. Yeah. I saw zero in Ethan Page for years. I thought he was annoying as fuck when he was in TNA. The whole karate guy thing was dumb.
Yes.
I did like him in Darby and Evolve. That was a really good indie feud. Great shit. Kenny Johnson had some really cool documentary stuff. Evolve back in the day was kind of cool. I thought he was a geek in AEW. I still think he's a geek in WWE, but his type of geek works there better than it works in AEW.
Right. He plays the type of character that WWE covets that audience really likes, right? And so that type of character just doesn't work in AEW. He tried it for a little bit. And but now he's in a place that actually like it's a scheme fit. When you're talking like if you break it down to like football analytics, it's a scheme fit. This running back doesn't work for this offense. He works for this offense over here. I look at it the same way with WWE. Ethan Page is perfect for what they do. I think Will Hobbs is actually perfect for what WWE does. And I think that I get my hopes up with them a lot when they get somebody. I'm like, I hope that they will, you know, present him well. And I don't see him ever being like their world champion or anything like that. But I think that he could be like a guy and like get pushed every now and then, but that's kind of what he was doing in AEW too. He'd get pushed every 6 months. But when you're in WWE, you increase your global profile, and this is probably his last chance to really make it, at a high level in pro wrestling. So I'm super excited for Hobbs, and I'm excited to I like this stuff. I like seeing guys jump ship, you know, like I think the rumors of Jericho appearing on anywhere is like fun.
Oh yeah, agreed. Look at Ricochet, right? Yeah. Ricochet had been written off as just a flippy guy. Like his best run was probably as Prince Puma in Lucha Underground, where he wore 100%. A mask. Like, and then he shows up in AEW and it turns out, holy shit, this guy's had a big personality the whole fucking time, and none of us knew it. Like he's having his best run right now. And I adore Ricky. He's not only is he a flippy guy, but he's a flippy guy with two big jacked up goons, and he's annoying as fuck on Twitter. It's great. Like, again, we would not know that if we didn't have this type of back and forth. Like, I think we need more of it. I would like to see some more guys make their way to TNA too. Now, like now that people are leaving, it's opening up some doors. Like, I think this is great for wrestling. Truly do.
Yeah. Speaking of possibly going to TNA, Tommaso Ciampa announced that he's leaving the WWE. He's getting close to 40, got a bad neck. Was in NXT forever, probably one of the most enduring stars. He's been on the main roster the last couple of years. Did not seem to work out for him on the main roster. Although I think him and Gargano they had some big matches, but I just don't think that they ever, their ship had sailed essentially as a tag team by the time they got to the main roster. It looks like he is interested in New Japan. But I just see him as like a guy that would like go in and be like Mike Santana's like feud. Like, I just think that he would be a good guy for Santana to feud with, but I don't know. What do you see from Ciampa?
The fact that he's interested in New Japan is interesting right now because they need some new gaijin. I think they need an influx of gaijin. I think that New Japan has to come to terms with the fact that they failed on this crop, like their young boy crop.
Yeah.
The Ren Naritas of the world. None of them have panned out, and they need to find new people. And I think having a guy like Tommaso Ciampa, who I think still can have a good match, I think he could still go over and have that New Japan style of match. And they need people. They're kind of where they were in the pre-Tanahashi days, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe I'm getting off New Japan right now again. I mean, they got a lot of people that are leaving, but a lot of the Japanese talent are kind of played out right now. So it's like, okay, Naito's gone. Okay, Bushi is gone. All right, Hiromu is gone. Okay, fine. Like, find me this great, you got this great dojo system, move him up. Maybe go make an offer to Kento Miyahara. Like, do something cool. Change it up a little bit. But get the problem with New Japan over the last years has been it's been very stagnant for a long, long time. I don't know if this is Gato in his booking tendencies, but they need some new shit over there in New Japan. Do I think Ciampa could do stuff in TNA? I do. He cuts a very good promo.
Yeah.
I wonder if he just wants away from WWE in general, and being like, in TNA would be a little bit too tangential to WWE.
Right. Because when you go to TNA, you're still essentially kind of like
the same thing.
It's like you're like their cousin. Like you're not, you're still in the family. Here's a question from AWN415. It says, do people not want to go to TNA because of their affiliation with WWE? what's the stigma? People don't want to go to TNA because TNA doesn't pay very much money a lot of times.
I think like that.
Yeah. So, but people will go to TNA like because they like money. If TNA is willing to pay them, though, they will go. But you also got to remember that TNA has a small roster because of their budget is different than like eight. And Dave, I don't know why Dave felt the need to correct this that I said. I said AEW. I know he's like, well, actually. I was like, hold on, Dave. Relax.
Dave is king. Well, actually.
Yeah. But I said that AEW, like TNA is competing with AEW, and AEW doesn't have like a salary cap, and they don't have like a cap on the roster size. They can kind of go as big as they want, essentially. And well, Dave goes, well, actually, they do have a salary cap. If not, then they would be signing every top WWE. I was just like, no, that's not what I meant. I just meant like, if Tony Khan really, really, really wanted somebody, he has the access to the and the resources to be able to get who like almost whoever he wants outside of the top tippy top WWE names. But I tell you what, if Roman Reigns did just want to leave WWE, Tony Khan could afford him. I think so. And that's what I'm saying. Like, because it was at the time when the Rascals and Jake Doyle went to AEW. I was like, well, look, this is who they're competing against, and these guys don't have a salary cap. TNA has like they have a parent company that provides them a budget that they got to kind of stick to, so mm-hmm. they keep their roster size small. So when they lose people, that's when you start to see them bringing more people in. So just because somebody gets released, that doesn't mean they're going to bring them in. You got to like people got to like the contracts got to fall off the books before they're able to bring more people in. So.
Hold on. No.
Dave's great.
Dave's the man.
Like, Dave's awesome.
This is not an anti-Dave Meltzer show, but we will say the man, like on Twitter, he is also a troll. Dave Meltzer is one of the most important voices in wrestling history. And if you have a problem with that, you're sucking off Bruce Pritchard too much and you're a fucking idiot. So that being said, TNA is very much like Memphis, right? In the 80s and 90s. Like they have their core guys. You're always going to have Jerry Lawler. You're always going to have Bill Dundee. Right, that's your core, and then you have the guys underneath them. You'll have their kids, and you'll have the people that are hardcore to Memphis. Then you got the talent coming in and out the door. Right, that was the lifeblood of that company for years. And TNA is very, very much of that same mindset. Yeah. And this is good because we need them. They've been a little lazy, in my opinion, about finding new people.
Yes,
they've been. I mean, other than Leon Slater, who's been a gold mine for them, they need to go stretch themselves and find new talent. Like they got to scour those indies and find guys that have slipped through the cracks, like Tony did with Powerhouse Hobbs during the pandemic, right? Yeah. Nobody, like I said, nobody but Mike Gilbert knew who, and probably John LaRocca. knew who Powerhouse Hobbs was prior to the pandemic. And Tony found him and, you know, made a guy with him. You know, or like when Ricky Starks was bouncing around Texas indies for years before Billy Corgan gave him a shot with the NWA. Then he winds up in AEW. Now he's in WWE. Like, you know, this is how wrestling always was in the 80s and 90s. And we got away from that for too long. And now we're getting back to that. Like, I think the wrestling ecosystem is so much better this way. And I'm happy for him.
Yeah, I'm happy. A lot of healthy companies means talent can just kind of jump back and forth, right? So they lose their gig one spot or their contract's coming up. They're like, hey, I can bet on myself. I have all these other places to go, mm-hmm. right? Now, I'm surprised that people are looking at New Japan because I just don't think they got the money. Speaking of which, next up, free agency frenzy continues with Evil. He is officially out. New Japan confirmed tonight that Evil is leaving the promotion when his contract expires at the end of the month, and it looks like he is a WWE bound. I'm glad he's not going to AEW. So our buddy Finestone swears up and down that Evil's great, and I love Jeremy. And other people think that Evil can he can have good matches, but it's just the gimmick, the House of Torture gimmick, is what's been holding him back.
I agree.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's possible, but I worry about him going to the WWE because, you know, other than a couple of people, they don't really do much with the Japanese talent.
Evil's a gimmick guy.
Yeah.
He is a gimmick guy. They're going to eat that shit up over there. He won't be Japanese Undertaker, which is kind of what he was in New Japan at the beginning. He's kind of moved away from that, doing his own thing. I mean, I'm so sick of the House of Torture over there.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeremy is primarily a New Japan guy, and so he's very rah-rah New Japan and those things. I'm not going to lose sleep over Evil going, and, you know, someone goes, he's going to stalk his ex-wife. I laughed because he probably
won't. Yeah. I mean, it's also possible that they have an amicable relationship and are two complete professionals, but.
But it's also funnier. It's way funnier the other way. So we'll go there. I think Evil's better than he gets credit for. He's been filling a role there. And Gato, dude, speaking of Memphis, Gato loves his Memphis. And it's very obvious when you watch House of Torture shit. So I think New Japan has been in a creative rut for years. And I think that all these guys saying fuck off and leaving is going to force them to be creative, or it's going to force them to find a new booker. Gato's been the booker there since 2008, I want to say. Like, that's a long time, man. I think they could use some new blood in the booking industry there. I don't know who that is, but I think they could use somebody else.
Yeah, Hiromu Takahashi looks like he's on his way out. Maybe even Noah Bound. I think Super J-Cast reported that from right here on the Voices of Wrestling Network. But yeah, Hiromu Takahashi, that's kind of crazy. I thought that he had been a lifer in New Japan, but looks like he wants to go hang out with Naito and those guys.
Yeah, probably. What I got a thing. Whatever, JD, could give you two shits if you think it's funny. I don't know what that's about. Yeah. I'm hilarious. I think that Hiromu has kind of been played out a little bit in New Japan too. I think the neck injury has really slowed him down considerably, where he's become a lot of a gimmick guy now too. I think that a lot of those LIJ guys had really been relying on charisma alone, and that does not carry you in New Japan. So him going to Noah makes perfect sense right now. I think it's good. I think the Hiromu loss probably hurts more, but he's been wanting to move up to heavyweight for a long time and never really got that opportunity there. So it makes sense for me to give him somewhere else. I see it. I'm good with it.
Yeah, I see it. And Noah could use the boost. I think they signed Naito and they got a lemon, that poor guy. Yeah, he's not moving around too well. The War Dogs, all their contracts are coming due. And we've already talked about Finley already, but Gabe Kidd looks like he is being courted by both AEW and WWE. But if you're asking me, I think that Tony Khan already has that deal in the bag. Like, Gabe Kidd's probably just trying to squeeze out a couple more shekels out of him, but he has to be AEW bound, right?
I think this is Will Ospreay 2.0. Yeah. Remember a couple years ago, we had buddies who were like, Will's going to WWE, man. Will's going to WWE. And he was like, I was always going to AEW. Like, I think freaking Gabe Kidd was wearing a Death Rider's knee pad for the last year. Like, he was like an unofficial Death Rider. And it seems like Gabe is very, he works his ass off. I think he's going to be a massive loss for New Japan. I really do. Gabe Kidd is a great worker. He's got a shit ton of charisma. He's probably the best gaijin talent they've produced in a long, long time. So whoever winds up with him, I think he fits much, much better in the AEW system than he does in the WWE system.
Same.
Because he's got a little bit of that Eddie Kingston vibe where, when Gabe gets on the mic, it's raw. It's him. And his work rate is super, super high. And I would rather both companies are so full right now that I think, as a fan of wrestling, I would love to see him be the top gaijin, like fill that AJ Styles, Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay role of being and Jay White being the top gaijin over there. He never quite got that spot. I would love to see him, but if the money ain't there, the money ain't there. This is a fucking business. Dude's got to make money.
Yeah,
I think a lot of fans forget that sometimes because they want to see their favorites where they want to see them. But these guys got bills to pay, and you only get so many bumps in a ring before your career is done.
Yeah, for sure. I think he works best in AEW. Lastly, we don't even need to comment too much because it's been out for a couple weeks, but she just talked about it today. But Killer Kelly left TNA. So there you go.
Surprise.
Yeah.
I think it's a bigger loss. I don't know. I've not been watching later, but I was always a fan of Killer Kelly stuff. And in TNA, I thought she was a good fit there. Do you think she goes to either of the other companies? Because I don't know that that's a thing.
No, I don't see it. I think Court Bauer would like her, to be honest with you. And I think Billy Corgan would have an affinity for her. I'm not trying to be any like disparaging towards Killer Kelly, but no. I think she kind of plateaued as far as like what she's capable of in the ring after a while and maybe even regressed at times. And TNA, they brought her back after her maternity leave. So she kind of missed a year. They brought her back. They immediately pushed her to a world title shot. And then she's just been losing matches ever since, and she's been mostly relegated to Explosion. So I think everybody kind of saw this coming for like the last 6 months. So TNA has like a different strategy. They're kind of going in a different direction. So Killer Kelly just not part of that. But she did say that they offered her a deal, but I don't know.
It's probably one of those nice guy deals. And I can see her wanting to do something different. The company has changed so much over the last couple of years. I don't know where someone like her kind of fits in right now. So maybe she would be better off in like an MLW or an NW or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Okay, let's get to the chat. So Ari Francis, why would anyone at WBD or WB care about six-year-old Facebook comments by Trey? I refuse to believe that anyone at WBD knows who he is. Here's the thing. I don't think they knew who Jay Briscoe was either. I think somebody just smartens them up, right? And they, like, did they care about Jay Briscoe? Of course not. They didn't know who that was, but somebody just sent them the information, and then they took action on it. It only has to offend one person in a high position in order for that to happen. I assure you that Trey Miguel did not get fired by MJF. Believe whatever you want, but that did not happen.
No, and like you got to understand how these big corporate media companies work, especially ones that have like Hollywood ties. You know, they don't like those kind of conversations. They don't like when you can, because there's a lot of gotcha media, right?
Yeah,
there's plenty of gotcha media that come out there and say, "Oh, look what this guy said," and then you are left with egg on your face, having to defend a guy who works for you, who is of questionable moral integrity, shall we say. And I don't think that Trey is, but he's not the first person to lose a job in the media world because of things he had said.
He's not even the first wrestler to lose their job, or even person that working for a wrestling company on Turner, like Bill Watts got fired because somebody sent a letter to Hank Aaron, who was working at Turner, about some shit that Bill Watts said to Wade Keller, and they fired Bill Watts. And then, of course, Jay Briscoe happens. And then now recently, Trey Miguel. Now, people will bring up Sammy Guevara. But here's the thing. Sammy Guevara was under contract. He was already there. And they gave Tony an opportunity to punish him for what he said about, I guess, Sasha Banks at the time, which was pretty gross. But everybody has a different threshold. And I don't think one has anything to do with the other. I think that this is just
ask yourself this: in this current environment, if what Trey said wasn't offensive, why wasn't he brought into the WWE? I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago when the Rascals first went over there the first time. Why didn't they pick him up now?
So they actually had been bringing Trey in with the TNA partnership, and Trey had actually been working some dark matches, but I think they were thinking about bringing him in, but Tony wanted the entire act, and I think that's
I get that. The fact that he's gone, though, you can't tell me they wouldn't want him with NXT. Like, he wouldn't be helping those kids out there. Us, like, I think he absolutely would. He's very very good. The problem with Trey is Trey, you know, like he's gotten himself into trouble with some things, and that's the same thing that kept him out of there the first time. It's not a surprise. Like, and that's unfortunate for the guy. I mean, you got to understand that these companies own a lot of smaller companies, especially when this environment is going on, where they're going to have WBD and Netflix are going to have a shit ton of eyes on them because certain people don't want that merger going through. So they have to keep the company on the up and up right now. It would not surprise me if you saw less blood in AEW. None, but it would not surprise me if things were less violent in AEW than they had been for the next six to 10 months.
Yeah. XWF says Naito should retire. Yeah.
That I agree probably with that.
Would be the best. Okay. Gabe would have his trouble keeping his promos clean.
I don't think so.
He's a smart guy.
ECW thing, man. Those ECW guys, Shane Douglas, going to be like, fuck Dick Flair. And then he went to WCW and he was fine with cutting promos. Like, these guys are professionals.
Yeah. Let's see. I know that people think that Finlay is going to the WWE, but considering how badly they booked his father and his brothers in Chase University, that would be a massive step down. His father still works there.
He's had a job there since 2000.
You think his dad cares like how he was booked? His dad's old school, man. He's like, pay me. Pay me a lot of money and I'll do whatever you want. And that's that mentality.
I'll be honest with you. The only thing that would surprise me about this is that David Finlay hadn't signed sooner.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that he just really liked New Japan and thought that maybe he'd be the top gaijin there. And he just isn't Kenny Omega. He isn't AJ Styles. You know, he isn't those guys. He's a talented guy, I think, but he's not a top guy. No. Not everybody is.
And that's okay. Not everybody has to be a top guy. And I know we want to see our favorites booked in companies where they can be top guys, but for some of these guys, making more money is more important. Like, you and I are both family men in our 40s. I want to make as much money as humanly possible right now.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Okay, Lil Shorty. I like you, Lil Shorty. And I'm not going to be mean because I do like you, but you said, I honestly feel it was MJF who might have told WBD about the Trey thing because Trey used to date his current girlfriend. Okay. No, that didn't happen. MJF helped Trey get into the company. So that didn't happen. All right. You guys can believe that if you want to, but you don't have any like evidence to back it up. But trust me, if MJF had anything to do with that, we'd find out, and we'd find out pretty quickly because nobody can keep a secret in the wrestling business for sure.
Okay. Why? Okay, Lil Shorty else is okay. Then whatever it was, definitely should lie on TK. Why is TK lying? Like, he wouldn't have signed the guy if he didn't think that they would have brought him in, because it makes his company look bad. The fact they had to release a guy 24 hours after they signed him.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know the conspiracies are so much more fun to believe. And I know it's more fun to believe the evil Jewish guy made sure this kid couldn't get a job, because that's what we're saying, basically. That's what we're saying. We're steering into like some god awful racial stereotypes based on the fact that he used to date his girlfriend, and consider the source of who this is coming from.
Right? Yeah.
That from a racist, vile piece of shit. Yeah. Like, that's what
JD
from NY is.
Did you know what one of his points that he made was? It was like he said, well, it's very clear that it was MJF, because if WBD wouldn't bring him on, neither would AMC. So where I got in, I was like, JD, AMC and WBD are two different companies. They have two different command structures. James Dolan probably doesn't care. And I doubt David Zaslav has anything to do with this. He's just not paying attention to what's going on in AEW. I highly doubt it. But it was somebody like in that like command structure that got wind of it and put the kibosh on the whole thing. So,
and it was the fact Trey went on an epic meltdown of that.
He did.
And it's to David Starr, who's an utter piece of shit. So it's one of those, god damn it, we lost him for this guy?
This guy
of all people, David fucking Starr. So, I mean, like, no, I know it's fun to blame. I know it's fun to blame the evil, you know, evil Max. Max is ruining everything as always. But, like, no, man. The real truth is, if Trey had felt that Max fucked him over, you don't think Trey Miguel would be the first one out there saying it?
Oh, dude, he'd be screaming it from the rooftops for sure.
Come on, man.
And you know, we would be doing on this show, we'd be back to calling him Bogo Max again.
Because again, we're not unharshed. We call him Bogo Max. Remember, I made that Maximania graphic that we put on the show. Yeah, I was really proud of that. Yes, we would be burying MJF if this was the legit truth, but it's not. It's not. MJF actually helped these guys get in. Zach Wentz dressed like Hitler, and Max was the first one to go, "This is my friend. This is
yes." Me. Like, Zach Wentz literally dressed like Hitler on like when he was a teenager, right?
Right.
And he apologized for it.
His psycho ex-wife is trying to ruin his life. Like,
yes.
Like, yeah, it just, this whole thing fucking sucks. And I hate it because I wanted to watch Trey on AEW having stupid flippy matches that I could complain about later, because he's really good at it. God damn it.
He is really good at it. And I feel bad for him, but I'm glad that I get to watch him on Thursday night still, because TNA always booked him really well, I thought.
They did. And quite honestly, he's probably more valuable to TNA than he would have been to AEW as Trey Miguel. So it sucks, but
I can tell you, based on some of the spoilers I've seen from the TV tapings two nights ago, they got a good plan for Trey, and it's not the typical plan that they had for him before. Like, he's in an elevated position, so I'm excited about that. So did you see what they did with him when they brought him back, though?
I didn't know. I didn't. I was wrestling all week. Well, tell me a story.
Let's get into TNA talk. Sure. Okay, TNA fans, you guys have been waiting this entire time to talk TNA. Throw your TNA questions out there in the chat. Let's get to those. But TNA's ratings from their first episode was 173,000 for their debut episode on AMC from 9 to 11, and with a 0.04 rating. The 0.04 rating, according to Dave and Brandon Thurston, is really good. I don't know that that's good or not. Like, I don't, I just like to now, I don't, yeah, I don't know what's good or bad. All I know is that it beat Collision from the last couple weeks, so I would say that's probably a win, right? But 173,000, I would say, was quite a bit short of what I thought they were going to get. I had predicted 215. I think Dave predicted 250. So I don't know. What is your take on that? I know that you're kind of exhausted on ratings talk, but what do you think?
It's hard in this day and age because the ratings game has changed so much. I know we like to, the fun thing is to shit on AEW ratings, but SmackDown's getting literally half of what it was getting a couple of years ago, literally half. So and it's not just the new ratings structure. A lot of it is, you know, everything's so watered down now with streaming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everything. If Dave and Brandon say 0.04 in the demo, in this case is good. I'm going to go with what they say on it. Yeah. 10 years ago wouldn't be good, but 10 years before that was a totally different world too. Like, we have to accept the fact that we're not going to get 80s, 90s TV numbers anymore. We have to accept the fact we're not going to get 2010 TV numbers anymore. So, I mean, like, I got to be honest, I know it's a corny thing to say. If AMC is happy with the rating, considering what they're paying for the show, we got to be good.
Yeah, and I heard they're paying like $200,000 an episode. So
that's not much in the grand scheme of things. Like, that's pretty cheap. And if it's an ad split deal, like, they're probably doing okay with that. Like, they're gonna make people happy. The scary thing is that, like, those first couple week ratings tend to be a lot higher than where they eventually settle.
Yeah. So I
don't know where it settles. How is week two? Those numbers come out yet?
They come out tomorrow, and so I'll talk about them on Patreon coming up. Go to patreon.com/TheMikeandJDShow. I'll talk about it there.
Scary about that, though, is that the critical reception to the first TNA show is so bad that you have to wonder how many people were chased off. Because I heard second episode was a lot better.
Second episode was a million times better. It was actually, I would say, one of the best episodes of that TV show that I've seen in a couple of years. Like, legit. It was that good. It was so good. I was like, who booked this shit? Now, was it great? You know, they're not really, if Tony Khan was worried about TNA before, and I don't think he was worried as a threat, but I think he did see them as like competition, taking some of his market share. So he signed five of their wrestlers within a week, but I don't think he has anything to worry about now, especially after those ratings. The show was really good. It's gotten critical acclaim from everywhere, including myself, but Brian Alvarez and everywhere. So, and I think that the show is going to do less.
Stop it.
Stop. Come on. Delirious is not cooking. He had a good week. Like, let's get some sustained superior performance before we start crowning Delirious. Okay.
Yeah, I've been watching Delirious. I was watching Delirious shows for years. Delirious TV shows are not good. If you wind up with one, it's just because law of averages.
Yeah. Like, well, I think they finally got a fire lit under their asses, for sure. So back to what I was saying, it was really good. I do think that they're going to have a dip this week. I don't think it's going to be as significant as people think it is. And I have a theory about that. One is I don't know how many people were watching on AMC Plus. A lot of the people that hated it, I think, were probably just on the free trial of AMC Plus and TNA Plus. I don't think a lot of them had cable. And last week's lead-in to Impact was Equalizer Part 2, which actually did pretty good. I think it did like a 289,000 and had a 0.05 rating, and that led in. The lead-in for this past week was Guardians of the Galaxy, and I know that because I was watching it. Yeah, so I think that'll actually bump it up a little bit, but... Yeah, but the people that gave up on it are not coming back for sure, and and TNA doesn't deserve those viewers because they chased them off with that bad episode. But I do think that there will be a dip, but I don't think it'll be a significant. I'm probably looking at like 150 and like a 0.03. So
the numbers are so low. When I'm not saying so low as to pick, I'm just saying like the sample size is so tight. There's not much room it can drop. Realistically, right. I don't see it dropping. I don't see it dropping to under 100,000. I just don't in this current TV landscape. I just don't see that.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'll be a dramatic collapse, but I do think we have to, as fans, we cannot view TV ratings the same as we did 5 years ago.
Yeah.
The landscape is completely different. And the scary thing about TV is they're spending so much. Like, these companies are spending so much, and streaming has peaked, right? We've seen the peak of streaming television, and nobody knows what to do with this. This is part of the reason why the battle over WBD is so fascinating, because it will whatever happens with WBD will kind of dictate the pace of where the business goes over the next 10 years after that.
Yeah.
You know, They really, I mean, like, I heard someone call it Fight for the Soul of Hollywood, and I kind of chuckled at first, and then I kind of thought about it, and I'm like, you know what? They're kind of right, because I hate to use the term paradigm shift because it's such a cliche, but we are in kind of like one of those watershed moments where things really start to change again, and I don't know what happens from here on out, because we really are kind of scrolling into, like, new worlds of how TV is being consumed, and, like, a lot of people aren't even consuming TV at all anymore. So it's fascinating, man. It truly is. It's not a great, like, when all these TV shows are up for renewal, all we do is spend. So I will assume that things will be okay, but I'm just not seeing how people are getting return on their investments anymore. I really aren't.
Yeah. I think I know how AMC is getting return on their investment. They had so many goddamn commercials on that TV show. It was
an ass split, man.
Man, every match had a commercial break. So, yeah. And then every segment would go, like, after every segment they had a commercial. And they were, like, 4-minute commercial breaks, too. It was a lot. And so I get the feeling AMC's probably going to be okay. But if it does dip below 100,000, I think the TNA should probably start to worry. And see, like, can they get back on access? Like, if Anthem hasn't sold that channel off yet. So I think they should worry.
It's going to be interesting, because I know people will... I always do that, has such a weird thing of, like, well, WWE shows never get canceled. Like, that's not true. SmackDown was canceled on Fox and they moved it. And, like, and, you know, none of us watch Superstars or Challenge anymore. So, like, WWE shows have been canceled over the years. Raw has been locked in. Like, they've had that spot locked up since 1985. So, like, but that's the exception that makes the rule. Like, everything else kind of shifts around in the TV landscape world. So, if TNA were to be canceled on AMC, you know, TNA's herpes, man. It don't go nowhere. It'll just wind up somewhere else.
They'll just go to YouTube for a little while, and then they'll sell the company to somebody else, and then someone will have a wild hair up their ass and try to figure it out again. That's just kind of how it happens, but I think they'd be in trouble. So Trey Miguel on the show this week, and then we're going to wrap this up because it's already been in an hour. So Trey Miguel on the show this week, he was in the Feast or Fired match. You know, where they get you got to climb the pole and get the briefcase, and, like, you either get a title match or you get the fired briefcase.
Legitimately fired? Yes, that's TNA wonder of psychosis that they do. Yeah,
they legitimately fire people. And the first thing people were saying, like, oh my God, if Trey gets the fired briefcase, that's going to be the greatest thing that's ever happened in pro wrestling. Like, even Matt Hardy said, like, TNA has the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever. And then Trey Miguel's like, he goes, I'm going to be so pissed if I cry and get this damn fired briefcase. But I know which briefcase he got, and it's not the fired one. He's going to be fine. So
was it taped? Was that show taped? You know who got, did I miss it? I don't know. I'm way behind.
Spoilers aren't out. So the only thing that I know who's got the world title briefcase. That's out. I know what briefcase Trey Miguel has. I don't know who has the X Division, or I don't know who has the, I don't know who has the fired. All I know is that Eric Young and Steve Macklin are the last two.
I know one veteran who's going to be really fucking pissed. I'll just
yeah. Leave it at that. Yeah. Well, so I've been speculating for months that Macklin is out the door. But I do know that Eric Young is not even under a contract, and, like, you could fire him and he can come back in 3 months. So that wouldn't be a big deal.
That's what he does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I could absolutely see. I'm predicting that it's Eric Young, but I can absolutely see it being Steve Macklin. So they did the match on Thursday night, like, live, and then the case reveal, they're doing it backstage that way, because they taped another episode after on Thursday, and then on Friday they taped an entire. They did, like, two or three episodes on Friday, but the backstage thing they're keeping under wraps, so we don't know.
That's a nice hook. That's smart. Yeah. That's really smart.
And neither Steve Macklin nor Eric Young wrestled on Friday night. So they made sure to, So, yeah. You know, every once in a while, you absolutely have to hand it to a TNA.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually pretty, it's pretty good reason to tune in, especially if you care about any of those performers. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. Let's see. What, Nicholas Riley, what did I let slip? Another spoiler. I said there was just Macklin and Eric Young, and I don't know that, like, which case they got. So I don't know. Maybe the spoiler is they didn't wrestle.
You said who got the X Division briefcase. No. I mean,
oh, Okay, yeah. So I did spoil that Trey Miguel did not get the X Division one. So, all right. Yeah, okay. I did fuck that up. My bad, guys. All right. Lastly, big signing by TNA over the weekend. It was revealed. Man, you're going to be super impressed by what they just did. TNA signed as an agent / producer, Candice Michelle. I mean, she's just been a hot commodity on the producer scene. Like WWE wanted her. AEW wanted her, but no, TNA was able to land Candice Michelle from the GoDaddy commercials as a backstage producer. So congratulations to TNA for landing the hottest free agent in pro wrestling.
I don't even know how to react to that. Like, I have not heard the name Candice Michelle involved in wrestling in a long fucking time. And, she was terrible. Like, she's going to be an agent. That's like, that's even more bizarre than when Tony signed Madison Rayne. I was like, Madison Rayne as a wrestling coach?
Yeah.
You really want to do that? All right.
Right. Like, yeah. So I was in the Discord, and you know how sometimes like I just like intentionally try to get under people's skin.
Oh yeah. Me too. I get it.
So somebody went in there and like, look, if you're looking up cage match ratings to determine whether or not somebody could be a producer, like you've lost the plot. So they went out of their way to look up cage match ratings for Candice Michelle, right? Who had bra and panties matches. So it's like, of course. Right.
But that's what's weird. The cage match ratings thing is irrelevant. It's fucking.
Yeah. Bad. Yeah.
But she's not a good professional wrestler. How is she gonna, like,
yeah. Well, so what JD, so the argument, okay, let's see if you can
please
see if you can fight my argument though. My argument is, you know, Kyle Shanahan never played a down in the NFL, right? Sean McVay never played in the NFL. Ben Johnson never played in the NFL. All great coaches, right? There's only been a couple of Hall of Fame players that have ever been Hall of Fame coaches, right? Maybe she's a genius. Maybe she's just like this great coach and like studies wrestling, studies the moves, but she just couldn't physically do it herself, much like the great NFL coaches of our time. Maybe that's Candice Michelle. And I said this in another chat. Look, you know, maybe Tommy Dreamer just really saw something in her, and like she's just a great
finisher. I bet he did.
two things, I bet. And it's like, you know what? You know, she's like our Pat Patterson, but we, you know, call her something else but Patterson. Like, I don't want to say the actual word because I don't want to get in trouble, but maybe that's it, JD. Maybe we just don't know. Like, she's a genius.
You could be 100% right, Mike. But what's more likely is that TNA just TNA'd.
Yeah.
And is this just a WWE thing? Like, is this just trying to, like, I mean, no. Like, of all the minds, like, I know who's going crazy. Sarah Stock. Sarah Stock's losing her fucking, is it Sarah Stock, right? That's losing her mind on Twitter.
Yeah,
like, she's a better hire than Candice Michelle for like ring stuff. Like,
right? Well, I don't think that she's helping anybody in the ring. By the way, like, I don't.
Candice, I think what is she gonna do?
Like wardrobe and wardrobe, hair, makeup, promos.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Entrances.
Okay. If that's like what she's there for. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, know what? That's not a horrible idea. Yeah,
They have a lot of young female wrestlers that are of that same type. Of the Candice Michelle, like what she brought to the table, they also bring to the table. I think she's there to help them maybe accentuate some of that stuff, but that would be my guess. And then they also like to have her on the meet and greets. Like, she gets a long line at the meet and greets, so they sell tickets for those. So
that makes sense. She's very attractive, very well spoken. I don't like that that's for the knockout division. I mean, granted, it's called the knockout division. I don't like that it's going to be. If the knockouts division becomes more diva-ish, I think it takes away from like the legacy of what that is.
They just signed Cora Jade.
Yeah, but going to say, at the same time, both AEW and WWE have kind of assumed the identity of what the knockouts division used to be. So maybe that's when Cora Jade fucking sucks.
Yeah, she's terrible. But they're signing more folks like that. So
we just got a text saying, you guys, I won't reveal our source, but we got a text saying, you guys are walking that tightrope.
Yeah. Yeah. We're careful. We're pros.
We didn't say nothing. I'm not shitting on them for doing it, but I mean, like, if she's going to, it makes no sense to hire her to be a wrestling coach. It makes complete sense to hire her to be an image coach
or
like an image consultant type of deal. That's completely logical.
She was in Super Bowl commercials back in the day. Like, she was like legitimate, like a famous person
or something like that.
The GoDaddy commercials.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I would react the same way if someone told me, I don't know, Baron Corbin was going to be a producer.
Oh,
or an AEW talent. Which
we forgot about that. I forgot to bring that up. He wrestled at AEW on Wednesday.
Yeah, he did a dark. He was backstage, and Billy Gunn said, "Let's do a dark match." And I guess Tony said, "Oh, what the fuck? Why not?" Yeah. I mean, like,
why is Billy Gunn wrestling in a match like at all?
I don't know.
63 years old.
You know, honestly, he's not horrible for 63, but still, why is Billy Gunn wrestling? Like,
they got 1,000. They got 1,000 wrestlers, and Billy Gunn's wrestling.
They got 1,000 wrestlers under contract, and Billy Gunn is still getting matches. Absolutely insane. Hey, remember the one they posted on their Twitter? Remember one time Ronda Rousey had a match in Ring of Honor out of nowhere?
It was
Athena and Billy Starks.
Yeah, but she was teaming with Marina Shafir. Yeah. Yeah. Well, because that Marina Shafir was like one of the original four horsewomen.
Right.
So, right. Yeah, that makes sense.
And I forgot about that. I forgot that was a thing that happened. So, you know, wrestling's a weird place.
Yeah. But all right, guys, I think that's going to do it for us this time on the Mike and JD show. Head over to patreon.com/the Mike and JD show. I'll be on. JD, are we going to do like an overtime this week? Are we going to do anything?
We need to do an overtime this week. Overtime. We need to figure out what the hell we're going to do this week. Cause we had an idea. Maybe we should do that conspiracy theories thing. It's like our favorite, cause that you tossed that idea out. And I kind of like that. Like our favorite wrestling conspiracies.
Yeah, we can do something like that. We can kick that around. That might be have to do some research on that. But if there's like some
talk off the top of my head, actually.
We can talk about that. But I'm thinking if like some news hits like early in the week, maybe we just get together and talk about it. Yeah, I think that would be the case. Yeah. The TNA ratings should probably come out tomorrow. I might hit to the Patreon for that too, because the last one that I did pretty well, I thought. So if it keeps up, I'll keep doing it. If people like them, I'll keep doing them. So, but guys, that's going to do it for us this week on the Voices of Wrestling Radio Network. Thank you so much for being here, and until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. It made no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. It made no rain.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.